debate? Seeing no further debate, question before the body. Chair Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 11, Finance Amendment, pass the Senate on reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 12 yeas to 7 nays, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 11, Finance Amendment, has passed the Senate on reconsideration. Senator Taylor?
I remove the effective date clause on Senate Bill 11.
The effective date clause has been moved. Members may proceed to vote. Senator Green? Effective date clause. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 16 yeas to 3 nays, the effective date clause has been adopted. It is the intention of the chair that we will... Senator Welker?
Mr. President, may we move back up the calendar to the introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, Senator, you have the floor.
As everyone knows, the snowbirds are coming to Juneau this weekend, and two of them just came into the Miller Gallery. I'd like to welcome some dear friends of mine from Fairbanks, who now winter in the States and come up to Alaska in the spring. They're the prior owners of Soppy Enterprises in Fairbanks, the Chevron dealership, for many, many years. Would you please welcome to the Senate Bernie and Judy Soppy.
It is the intention of the chair that we will recess until 5 o'clock. There will be a majority caucus immediately on a motion to recess. There will be some meetings that will be announced. Senator Ward, would you announce yours at 3:30?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Transportation will meet immediately after the caucus.
Or at 3:30?
At 3:30, yes, for about half an hour.
Senator Lehman.
Commerce, which was scheduled at 1:30, will meet at 3:30 in the Franchise Room.
Senator Pierce, did you want to announce the conference committee at
3:30? Yes, previously announced conference committee at 3:30.
And also I'd like to announce some other news. Senator Kelly has been released from the hospital and he's resting at home. Senator Taylor.
Yes, I also wanted to give make an announcement that the joint Senate House Judiciary Committee meeting with Commissioner Otte will occur tomorrow at 1:30 in the Senate Finance Committee room, and the Judiciary Committee will meet before that at 1 p.m. to take up House Bills 50 and House Bill 163. Yes. And with that, I move and ask...
Senator Green, are you seeking the floor?
Yeah, Mr. President, Senate State Affairs will attempt to meet after Senate Transportation as soon thereafter as possible.
Senator Taylor, Senator Mackey.
Mr. President, I just want to give the one-day notice that CRA Committee will meet tomorrow at 1:30 at our normal scheduled time to hear House Bill 212 pending your referral.
Senator Ellis.
President, under introduction of guests.
Certainly. You have the floor, Senator.
I'd like to introduce a friend of mine in the Ziegler Gallery. Please help me welcome to the Senate Annabelle Stevens. And Mr. President, down to announcements, the Senate Democrats will meet in the Belt Room immediately upon recess.
Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent. Senate stand in recess until 5 p.m.
Without objection, the Senate stand. Senate will come to order. Senator Lehman.
I call the Senate.
Senate has been called. The Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come to order. Will the Secretary please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill number 107 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor and Act Making and Amending Capital and Other Appropriations into Capitalized Funds providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considers the bill, recommends the Finance Committee substitute. Signed, you pass. Senator Sharp and Pierce, both chairs. Senators Parnell and Ferguson. Senators Phillips and Donnelly, find no recommendation. Senator Adams, signed, do not pass. Rules recommends calendar. Signed, the calendar. Senator Lehman, Senators Taylor, Miller, and Ferguson. Senator Duncan, signed, needs an amendment. There's a Finance Committee substitute.
Senator Sharp.
I will move the CS for Senate Bill number 107, Finance.
There is objection. Just a vote. Okay. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall the Finance Committee substitute be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 5 nays, the Finance Committee substitute has been adopted. Senator Taylor.
With unanimous consent, Senate Bill 107 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Objection.
That was worth a try.
Senator Taylor, would you remove your motion? Thank you.
CS for Senate Bill number 107, Finance for the Finance Committee. There is an amendment number 1 by Senator Pierce, page 25. Been distributed.
Senator Pierce.
I move amendment number 1.
There is objection. Senator, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. If people will think back to the Exxon Valdez accident, after that accident, the state of Alaska was in court against both Alyeska and also Exxon, and former Attorney General under the Hickel administration, Charlie Cole, settled both the criminal case for the state of Alaska and also the Alyeska case with the state of Alaska. In so doing, Mr. Cole brought back to us $50 million and a little more than $27 million, but both of those pots of money had lots of strings attached. The amendment that you have before you would appropriate interest that has accrued on the $50 and $27 million pots of money, and we have done previous appropriations of interest in previous years. While the original $50 million was appropriated to a mixture of projects that we at that time affectionately called brown and or green, and the $27 million Alyeska funds had to be spent on three primary projects, a dock at Tetitlik, a dock at Chenega, and a road to Shepherd Point from Cordova to Shepherd Point, which is the closest deep water to Cordova. The language that you have before you would essentially do three things. It would appropriate interest income to the Kenai Peninsula Borough to design and construct Kenai River Visitor Center in Soldotna. That building will be placed on state land. In fact, it would be the state land that will be vacated by the Department of Transportation when they move to their new facility. And we just had that bill before us, I believe the day before yesterday, and it was sponsored by the senator from Kenai. It is my understanding that, well, first of all, I know that the property is prime property. It is my understanding that there is every hope that through this year's Kenai River Classic, we can attract the attention to that spot of enough U.S. senators to get matching funds for this project, as we did for the $1 million habitat restoration money that we appropriated out of these same sort of interest funds a few years back. The federal Senate did indeed appropriate $1 million to match those funds. We have no reason not to expect that they would not do the same. Section E, or subsection E, would appropriate $1 million to Fish and Game to do research primarily on fish stock identification and assessments, primarily in Cook Inlet. The fishery resources in South Central Alaska are, of course, managed under increasingly difficult and demanding conditions. Recreational and guided sport fisheries are both growing and often conflict with existing and important commercial fisheries. The level of precision necessary to successfully manage these fisheries under our present condition requires additional stock identification, composition studies, and spawning and rearing information for some of our key productive streams so that the best management decisions can be made. Management of South Central Salmon Fisheries integrates information from several programs to provide an in-season model of annual returns. These programs that would be funded with these dollars would include offshore test fishing, escapement enumeration, comparative analysis of historic commercial harvest and effort levels, and age composition studies. They also plan newly developed continuing to implement a newly developed program that involves sonar and genetics to provide estimates of the abundance of salmon and relative contribution by some stocks to commercial catches. And of course, this body and the other body have both had some highly controversial discussions over the different stocks and the allocations of those stocks in the Cook Inlet. The Board of Fisheries has identified the lack of information about Cook Inlet fish as one of their major stumbling blocks each and every time they try to deal with the allocation questions. The third item, Mr. President, on page 2 at the top, subsection F, would provide the additional balance which at this point in time, when you add up all the pots of money and you subtract out both the Shepherd Point Road that's already in Senate Bill 107, this pot in subsection F is about $350,000 total. This money would be appropriated to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for grants to some of the unincorporated rural communities that are in the areas affected. And if you look at that language on lines 5, 6, and 7 on page 2, purposes of restoring, replacing, or enhancing subsistence resources or services or other services damaged or lost as a result of the Exxon Valdez oil spill. That's the language that all the projects have had to meet, because that's the language that Charlie Cole agreed to and that Judge Holland accepted in those settlements. So we are under actually a federal consent decree, at least on the Alyeska settlement, and I believe on the criminal settlement also. We have to meet those tests to make any appropriations of either this money or the interest income. It's my understanding that both English Bay and that village have some projects that they have told both the department and also Mr. Craig Tillery, who's the Attorney General, who has been following all of these processes since Mr. Cole's settlement of the case, and in fact was the lead assistant Attorney General on the cases. They have identified some projects, frankly, the projects that have been identified in these smaller unincorporated rural communities far outweigh the $350,000 that's probably available. I would just remind members, those unincorporated rural communities, particularly the villages around the Sound and on the southern end of Cook Inlet, are probably the areas whose subsistence lifestyle, well, not probably, they are the areas whose, the villages and the people whose lifestyle was the most affected by the spill, and who quite frankly got the least amount of economic help from all of the monies that poured into both the spill cleanup, but all the monies that have been spent since. We've got many villages who still have not seen much in the way of improvements to their villages from the devastation of that spill.
Further debate? See it? Senator Taylor.
I'm going to ask if the question is divisible, and I would move that it is, and ask that we vote on each section independently.
How would you do that, Senator Taylor? Would you do Section D, Section E, and Section F?
Right.
Let me look at it here. Chair rules that the question is divisible. So now the question is before the body. Is there objection to the division of the question? Hearing no objection, the question has been divided. So we have Amendment Number 1A, which is Section D. Amendment Number 1A, or Number 1B, which is Section E, and Number 1C, which would be Section F. I hope. So, is there an objection to Amendment 1, Part A? There is objection? There is objection to Amendment 1, Part A. Is there debate? Question before the body, shall Amendment Number 1, Part A pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary, I'll lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 12 yeas to 7 nays, Amendment Number 1, Part A has passed the Senate. We now have before us Amendment 1, Part B. Is there objection to Amendment Number 1, Part B? There is. Is there debate? Seeing no debate, the question before the body, shall Amendment Number 1, Part B, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 11 yeas to 8 nays, Amendment Number 1, Part B, has passed the Senate. Now before us is Amendment Number 1, Part C. Is there objection to Amendment Number 1, Part C? There is objection. Senator Halpert.
Part C is an unspecified amount. Could we have an estimate of the amount that our part, it's Part F of the bill, is Part C of the amendment?
Senator Pierce.
President, as I said earlier, the estimate is around $350,000.
Is the objection maintained? Senator Sharp.
I guess I would be interested in knowing what is in mind when it says restoring, replacing, or enhancing subsistence resources that were damaged. What is this on the ground remedial work on shellfish areas, or exactly what kind of remedial work or enhancement work are we talking about here, or is that sort of wide open?
Well, on page 2, line 6, of course, Mother Nature is going to pretty much have to enhance the subsistence resources on the beaches of those villages, but that's why the language or services or other services damaged or lost as a result are there. It's my understanding under this language, there was damage to some of the infrastructure in the villages. Previous amounts of grants have been used for such things as snow removal equipment and equipment that can be used at the docks in the various villages. There have not been many grants that have had large amounts of money. It's also my understanding that there is at least one economic development project that one of the villages wants to try to bring in some tourism to their village, of course, Prince William Cook Inlet, and the area out of Homer have quite a bit of summer tourism business, but to my knowledge, none of the tour boats go all the way around past Sildovia and onto the villages. There is an interest on the part of at least one of the villages of having a grant to help them set up a tourism opportunity, and they believe that they could put some of their people to work providing providing things to sell to tourists. For example, this area and the natives in this area are known both for their basket weaving of very fine quality, but also of their work with some of the fur-bearing animals, particularly the otters that do occur in the waters around these areas.
Is the objection maintained to Amendment Number 1, Part C? Objection is maintained. Is there further debate? Senator Mackey.
Thank you. Mr. President, since the objection is still maintained, I'd like to speak in favor. I think that, you know, the previous two motions that we just passed, or amendments, sections that we just passed, were very worthwhile projects, and I would suggest this one also is very worthwhile. As the senator who sponsors this amendment pointed out, we're talking about a few villages that were the hardest hit out of anybody, out of this tragic oil spill. And, you know, for this amount of money, interest earnings coming from a fund that was set up to take care of some of these impacts, this is not an unreasonable request at all. And I think that, you know, whatever projects come out of it for $350,000, hopefully it'll be able to do some good. That's what the money was intended for. I think that the word subsistence in there, I'm not sure how that applies in this language, but I can tell you when the subsistence impacts were felt by those villages, that's as critical as anything we can think of that happens in any of our communities that we live in. On a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of how important that is to those communities. So I appreciate the amendment being in front of us, and like we did with the other two, I urge members to vote yes on this one as well. Senator Pierce.
Mr. President, if I could just clarify, that language that I pointed out on lanes 5, 6, and 7, that's the actual boilerplate language that was in the settlement. The reason this appears again is that the grants that would be given have to fit inside this definition. It doesn't mean that they have to be for enhancing subsistence resources. But, of course, after the spill, there were many areas, more in Prince William Sound than in the Cook Inlet, but there were many areas where shellfish could not be taken and places where fishing was not allowed for a long period of time. There are still some beaches where shellfish are not allowed to be taken because of the possible toxic qualities of the remaining oil on those beaches.
Further debate. Senator Lincoln.
Well, Mr. President, I didn't think that
one even had to get up and debate that third section. But now I'm a little concerned seeing one of the majority members having a question about whether that's going to pass or not. I mean, we just, on Section A, appropriated $1.7 million for a Kenai Visitor Center. We just appropriated $1 million for the Cook Inlet fish stock identification. I just got back from an area, Tetitlik, which was is in the Prince William Sound area and was the hardest hit. And a grandmother there shared herring egg kelp with me while I was there and said this is the first year that she was able to gather that kelp because of the spill, and that she had to go almost to Valdez, I think it was, that she said, in order to get this. And she attributes that to the oil spill, and that she can't teach her grandchildren how to gather because it isn't there. And they have to travel great miles by boat to get that. So it's a little bothersome if we're talking about 1.7 million, 1 million, and now we're down to, at the maximum, 350,000 to distribute to not a community, not for a visitor center, not for stock identification, but for restoring, replacing subsistence resources or other services damaged or lost. We're talking about those that were actually affected by this oil spill. So I hope there is no question in this body that $350,000 to distribute amongst a number of communities is money that isn't wisely spent. That's what that money was put there for.
Further debate. Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall amendment number one, part C, pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 5 nays, amendment number one, part C, is passed the Senate.
Amendment number two by Senator Hoffman has been distributed.
Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number two.
Is there objection? There is objection.
Yes, Mr. President, this amendment would give the additional $1.2 million in core energy receipts authority to fund the repairs that are necessary on the St. Paul Island for the St. Paul Harbor. And I think, Mr. President, that this is the exact type of project that should have its have the priority of this legislature as one of its highest priorities. And I say that, Mr. President, because this harbor is in the Bering Sea and provides a port of safety for many of the ships that are fishing in the Bering Sea, and the there has been a lot of damage to the harbor as a result of Mother Nature. This this appropriation would garner $4.5 million in federal program receipts and an additional local match of $400,000 by the community of St. Paul. So I think we have here an opportunity with a joint venture between the federal government, the state of Alaska, and the local community to invest in a harbor that could cause further economic development to the not only the community, but assist the fishery in the Bering Sea. As everyone is well aware, the location of the harbor is strategic to the fishery. It's not as though they have alternative easy access to alternative harbors in the Bering Sea, and there are many times when storms whip up out in the Bering Sea that protection is needed. The second reason, above and beyond the fact that the the federal government would participate in this project, and the state of Alaska, I mean the local government, would also participate, is that the harbor brings in, as a result of the infrastructure there, in 1995, the harbor brought in to the state of Alaska's treasury in fisheries business tax $2.5 million, and in 1996 it brought in $2 million. Over the last 5 years, the facility in St. Paul has added to the state's treasury in excess of $8.3 million. So, you know, I think that if people reason things out, and if they were doing things in the private enterprise, they would protect the infrastructure that they have, because it pays for itself. This appropriation would pay for itself back to the state in fisheries taxes more than the amount that we're appropriating this 1 year. And I said it would also garner $4.5 million in federal receipts. So I think an appropriation like this is a win-win for the state, for the economy, for the people of St. Paul, and for the fishing industry, which many, many Alaskans are heavily dependent upon. So I would hope that the members would see the importance and the wise business sense of this amendment and approve it.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall amendment number 2 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 6 yeas to 13 nays, amendment number 2 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 3 by Senators Hoffman, Adams, and Lincoln. It's been distributed.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 3.
Is there objection? There is objection.
Amendment number 3 is an appropriation of $250,000 to the Arctic Yukon Kuskokwim Salmon Marketing Program as a grant under the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. And this grant is important because for the last 2 years, the AYK region has been hard hit by the low prices of salmon, and this appropriation would ensure that there would be additional research done on marketing of the salmon in the AYK area. I think that this region of the state is probably one of the poorest in the state, and the region is heavily dependent upon commercial fisheries for the livelihood for this region, and for those reasons I would ask the bodies for their support to this project.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall amendment number 3 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. By a vote of 6 yeas to 13 nays, amendment number 3 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 4 by Senator Mackey.
Senator Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move national unanimous consent for amendment number 4.
There's objection.
Thank you, Mr. President. In looking at the this whole issue dealing with, on page 14, line 12, dealing with the Juneau Laboratory, I think as was pointed out yesterday on debate on a different bill, Juneau Laboratory is not only a Juneau lab, it serves Southeast, which I have some interest in, obviously. I've been trying to wrestle with this whole issue all day, and I've talked to a number of members, and originally I do have an amendment drafted that would actually increase the reapprope line from $1 million to upwards to $45,000, which would be needed to keep the Juneau lab open. My concern is that when we're done with this bill, we're going to have a bill that I think is probably going to pass that is going to build a new lab and consolidate these labs into Anchorage. And what I just found out, and had I known this earlier, I would have been more vocal in the process, I guess, but the Juneau lab has been zeroed out come July 1st, either way, regardless of what we do with it. And if you take a look at what happened it's going to take at least a year or a year and a half to build the new lab in Anchorage to be able to consolidate, and I know the department supports that. But what doesn't happen in the meantime over this next year is allow at least for the Juno lab to continue to operate in order to process things from this region. And so what would happen is come July 1st, everything's going to have to be transferred to the Anchorage lab. And it's already been stated the Anchorage lab is subpar right now. And in the words of the department, which I got in a letter from them, a mechanical failure at the Anchorage lab would be catastrophic, to quote their language. So what I'm trying to do with this amendment is I'm not asking for any more money, which I'd be in trouble if I was. But what I'm asking to do is to just take out the word moving. The amount of money that's already in the bill stays the same. But I believe this will give them maximum flexibility to be able to try to deal with that whole issue. And, there's $95,000 in there right now for costs of moving the laboratory. And the department was able to convince the leadership in the next several days before we close, if there was a... another source of funds or something that could be done to address that issue, which I'm not trying to do now in terms of dollar amount, this would give them the flexibility to be able to try to maximize those funds. And, if we're not asking for more money to keep it open, I'm trying to ask for the department to have a little more flexibility in either closing or prolonging the life of the Juno lab long enough to at least take care of some of the things that need to be done. And with that, I'm being asked to vote for a bill to open a new lab somewhere else in the state and close this one down, and there's no provisions being made for what happens in the meantime. And quite frankly, I don't know how responsible that is. And now it's going to be said, well, we gave them money 2 years ago or last year, whatever, to keep it open. Well, that might be all fine and great, and maybe they didn't come forward as this being their number one priority. That's another reason. As far as the department, they have obviously lots of priorities, lots of problems that they consider. But I think this is one of regional interest to Southeast, that we try to give them at least the ability to continue to operate while we're looking at building the new facility. It is going to be closed. The funding goes away July 1st either way. But I think this would be a very small step towards giving them a little bit more flexibility, and I'd appreciate support of the amendment.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you. I appreciate the senator's concern about what's going to happen to the labs, but I would just point out that the language that is in this reappropriation is language that came from the administration. This isn't something that came to us from any member, nor that the Senate Finance Committee made up. It was a direct request by the administration. They are choosing to go ahead and relocate the activities of the Juno lab to the Anchorage lab, even while they await the opening of the new lab. He's correct that having something go wrong at the Anchorage lab would be catastrophic. Having something go wrong at the Juno lab is just as catastrophic. And in grand terms, the Juno lab is in much worse shape in terms of its physical shortcomings than the Anchorage lab. The department has not identified the Juno lab on any of their priority lists that they've given to us in terms of the operating budget and things that had to be funded and so on and so forth. I know that they sent a letter this afternoon, but it's my belief that that was in response to the first letter that was sent by the commissioner, who said that she supported the moving to the Anchorage lab and the bill that would fund the Anchorage lab. I believe the department does need to have money to help them make the transition. That's what this language is for. It uses a reappropriation from the HESS budget, from the AFDC line, to the department at their request. So I would think we should keep the language the way they asked for it.
Further debate. Mayor Taylor.
Well, it's difficult for me to oppose this amendment because I too believe that there probably needs to be more transition funding. However, sometimes doing what's right, you have to stand up and do it here. On this occasion, it gives me an opportunity to stand with and support the governor on what he's trying to accomplish here. And none of the hospitals within my district have objected this year. Last year, they did object to this, and we held it. And I think everybody's had a chance to review it. And this may be one of the few times I get to help the governor on the bill. So.
Senator Mackey.
Well, you know, if I was asking for some more money to be added into this, I could understand. We're giving them $95,000. I do have a letter from them. This was a request from them to ask for some more flexibility on this issue. And I don't know what it, you know, I don't know how that's going to hurt anybody here if we give them a little bit more flexibility. I'm not coming back next year to ask for more money or anything else. If we're going to spend the $95,000, why don't we let them try to utilize it with as much efficiency as they possibly can? This doesn't add new money. I had an amendment drafted that did add in new money, and obviously, probably wouldn't have been passed because we're not doing that. This gives them a little more flexibility. This is not a big deal compared to what we just dealt with. And, you know, I would hope that people would consider doing it.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not going to speak on this amendment, but I think it's worth pointing out a couple of things. One is, in the governor's original fiscal year 98 budget that was submitted, the governor's fiscal year 98 budget did include full funding for all three existing public health laboratories, the one in Juneau, the one in Fairbanks, and the one in Anchorage. So clearly the governor intended that the lab would be funded until the new building is completed in Anchorage. And of course, what's happening in the budget now is June 30th of this year, the lab in Juneau closes down, and we won't even have started construction of a lab in Anchorage. So clearly the intent of the administration was for the Juneau lab to continue. And clearly, it's not quite as simple as saying, well, yeah, if there's a failure in Anchorage, it'll be catastrophic, but if there's a failure in Juneau, it'll be catastrophic. It seems to me that if you put the Juneau lab inside the Anchorage lab and there's a failure, it's double catastrophic, because all of a sudden you don't have a lab to conserve Central or a lab to conserve Southeast. Clearly, down line, even though I don't think that's a good idea because it wasn't done correctly, the Juneau lab will be consolidated, but it's not right, it's not fair to say that that's got to close on June 30th, 1997, before a new lab is built in Anchorage. I think this is a reasonable amendment.
Further debate. Seeing no further debate, the question before the body shall amendment number 4 pass the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 7 yeas to 12 nays, amendment number 4 has failed to pass the Senate. Senator Ellis.
We have an at ease, please.
Senate will stand. Come back to order. We have amendment number 5 before us. Senator Duncan.
Has the amendment been read?
I don't believe the amendment has been read.
Amendment number 5 by Senator Duncan.
Senator Duncan.
President, I move amendment number 5.
There is objection.
President, amendment number 5 is a very important amendment for transportation system in Southeast Alaska. In fact, the marine highway system, which is a transportation system not just for Southeast but for the coastal communities of Alaska, and of course also I think will have impact on the rest of the state because of the economic activity that's generated by the marine highway system. This amendment would add back into the budget that's before us, the capital budget that's before us, the monies that are necessary in order to take the steps to ensure that the Malaspina can stay online to continue to provide service to the residents of this region who rely on the marine highway system. The amendment would add $244,000 in general fund match and $2,456,000 in federal receipts. That money is necessary, Mr. President, to renovate the Malaspina so it can continue to run. And as you know, and as other members of this body know, this has been a topic of discussion around this legislature this session, as the marine highway system has been discussed and debated and turned upside down and looked at from every direction. One of the constants that's been there, I think, from the unions and from the employees and from the communities in Southeast Alaska, from the mayors, is that they want to see the Malaspina retained. When the new ship, when the MV Kennecott comes online, the Malaspina should be retained as one of the vessels to serve the coastal communities. The administration went through some time trying to decide whether or not that would be their decision. I think they came to that decision to retain the Malaspina at the urging of the mayors of Southeast Alaska and of the coastal communities that the marine highway system serves. Those mayors were unanimous in their support for maintaining the MV Malaspina. If that, and maintaining it as a day boat to increase service to the communities in this region. If that's to happen, this money is necessary. This money is necessary in order to bring about the renovations that need to be done so that the Malaspina can continue. And the decision was not an easy one. The decision based to continue the Malaspina wasn't made in haste by this administration or by the people who are interested in the ferry system. It was based on economic analysis. It was done after a lot of input in Southeast and asking for expanded service. It was done after careful considerations and thoughts about how it could be done so it wouldn't increase operating costs. And the proposal now is a day boat service is that the Malaspina would run and the revenues it generates would maintain that run, would support that run. So we're not asking for increased general fund support for that type of service, day boat service. But what is necessary is a refurbishment that has to be done, and this money that I'm asking to be appropriated here would provide for that refurbishment. And it will provide what is necessary over the next 2 years to keep the Malaspina online and allow time to program additional refurbishment and upgrades if using the Malaspina as a day boat should prove to be a very viable option. So I think without doubt, if you're interested in the marine highway system, if you're interested in seeing expanded service to the residents who benefit from the marine highway system, if you're interested in seeing the Malaspina stay as part of our fleet, you would support this amendment, and I urge that the body do that.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, question before the body, shall amendment number 5 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 7 yeas to 12 nays, amendment number 5 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 6 by Senator Ellis has been distributed.
Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 6.
Is there objection? There is objection. Senator, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment proposes to restore to the funding level requested by HFC, the Low Income Housing Weatherization Program. It's a very important program to the entire state. It serves both rural and urban Alaska, and very important for the low-income families that benefit from the weatherization program. It's also a great jobs generator around the state, and many of you have heard from suppliers and shippers and contractors and other professional service providers about the utility of this program and the jobs that it generates. It's about, in the past, it's been about 60 full-time positions and about 61 seasonal positions statewide. Just to give you an idea about how good a job generator this is, let alone the merits of weatherization, it provides as many three times as many jobs as road construction for $1 million spent. So it's a labor-intensive activity that's good for the entire state. So I would hope members would consider this very seriously to up the amount here so we can weatherize more homes of low-income individuals.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall amendment number 6 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 5 yeas to 14 nays, amendment number 6 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 7 by Senator Duncan, page 40, following line 19. It's been distributed.
Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 7.
Is there objection to amendment number 7? There is objection.
Mr. President, Amendment number 7 addresses a very important need on a regional basis. And it addresses a very important need in our juvenile justice system, and it's a need that should not be overlooked by this body. The facility that, of course, that I'm proposing that we appropriate this money for is the Johnson Youth Center treatment facility. It does happen to be located in the community of Juneau, but serves the Southeast region, and is an important facility for that reason, and it's one that should be addressed. Mr. President, I don't know if any of you here have visited the Johnson Center. I wish you have, and I hope you'll take the opportunity to do that. But I did in late February, and it really is a facility that is overcrowded and is attempting to provide the services to our youth who need those services and do it in a reasonable and responsible fashion, but with very limited resources. And it amazes me how the staff out there at that facility have been able to continue to provide the service that's necessary to the youth who need to be detained under conditions that they have to work. Mr. President, when I was out there, and this is an 8-bed facility, When I was out there, there were 26 youth being housed in that facility with 8 beds. Now, I don't know if you've ever lived in a dormitory. I guess you probably have. Or if you've tried to sleep in a room with all your brothers and sisters, and you probably have tried to do that. But it gets pretty crowded when you start stacking people up, and it's pretty difficult to do. And this isn't family living together. These are youths from this community and from other parts of Southeast Alaska, 26 of them in an 8-bed facility. And they sleep on the floor. They sleep in the hallways. They don't have enough adequate space for daytime activities, enough space for classroom work. It's a shame that we, who say that we're going to be sure that our criminal justice system works well, that we're going to be sure that we have safe neighborhoods and protect our citizens, won't provide the funding for a facility that can help do just that. I had a chance this morning to talk to the captain in the Juneau Police Department in my office about this facility and about what the need is and what happens if we don't do something to expand the Johnson Youth Center. And his statement was very clear. If this has to be a top priority, and what the failure for this legislature to address this problem is causing a continuous, unending problem in this community, and one that really isn't bringing about safety to the citizens of Juneau. I asked him directly, what happens when you detain a youth, someone who's committed a crime, that needs to go to the Johnson Youth Center, and you take them there, and there are 26 kids in an 8-bed facility. And what happens is they take the young person there when they pick and they find out they can't be admitted to that facility because it's already so overcrowded, there's no more room to stack them. And what they do then is they end up taking them home. And an hour later, those kids end up back on the street somewhere. And they have a continuing problem. And it happens not just for kids in this community. As I said, there's kids in other communities who can't be shipped here because, or transferred here because the facility is full. There's also the problem that of the fact that instead of getting into immediate treatment as they should, the Southeast, the young people in Southeast, the youth in Southeast are languishing in detention for nearly 6 months while waiting for treatment because there's not a proper facility. There's also the problem that if there is room elsewhere in the state, and many times there's not, that Southeast youth are transferred to a facility in the northern part of the state. And study after study after study has shown that's not the proper approach and not the way things should be handled. That despite the fact that these kids do have problems, and they do, and they need to be in a detention facility, they also need to be close to their community and to their family. And that's the best way that they can be rehabilitated and the best way that they can receive adequate service. Mr. President, I'm not an expert in this area, but I think the administrator of the Johnson Youth Center is. I've talked to him time after time about the problems it causes with an overcrowding of 26 young people in an 8-bed facility. I think that Captain DiCapula, who's in my office this morning, who's on the Juneau Police Force, is an expert in this area, and he told me without doubt that this is not right. It shouldn't be allowed to go forward. You can't put that many young people in that type of facility. And secondly, you just can't expect law enforcement to take place in this community when they have no place to take the young people and they got to take them back home. And it's becoming a serious problem. Just as it becomes a serious problem in Anchorage, it's becoming a serious problem in Juneau. We've heard about the concerns of gangs in Anchorage, and the captain tells me there's gangs in Juneau. You hear about the problem of break-ins and robberies by young people in Anchorage, and the same thing happens in this community. And it happens day after day and night after night. Now, I don't know how much of that's happening because when they were first detained and taken to the youth center, there was no place to put them because it was overcrowded, but I imagine a lot of it's happening. And Mr. President, what really astonishes me or amazes me is the fact that this is not a request that's come out of left field all of a sudden. It's not a request that hasn't been well documented and studied and analyzed. It's a request that's been in place for a number of years. For 10 years, that added 20 beds have been designed and planned for the Johnson Youth Center. And it's been requested a number of times by the administration to be appropriated. And it was in last year's capital budget, and as you know, Mr. President, as we closed down the legislative session, it didn't get funded. But I can stand on this floor and say clearly, without hesitation, that when it didn't get funded last year, that the finance co-chair and I, who were working together to bring about the close of the legislative session, that the finance co-chair said to me, when I realized it wasn't going to be able to be funded, he said to me, yes, but we realize it's a need in Juneau and it'll be taken care of next year. It was a commitment that was given to me, Mr. President, a commitment that I believe needs to be honored, because when we give our words in this process, I think that's important. And everyone knows the struggle that we went through last legislative session to bring the session to a close. And there were a number of projects hanging out, and the one project that didn't get funded was this one. And the commitment was made to me that they understood the need, they understood the problem, they understood the justification for the facility. It wasn't possible to do it last session, but we'd do it this session. It would be taken care of. Mr. President, what's further frustrating for me on this issue is that this is a facility that's planned. There's no quarrel about the need. There's no quarrel about the research that's been done. There's no quarrel about the benefit that will be received. But just the other evening in the Finance Committee, I had to sit and watch as a proposal was made to appropriate money to plan and design and study treatment facilities in other communities in this state. And I don't oppose that. I don't begrudge other communities wanting to have and needing to have a youth treatment facility in their area. I think it's important. And so in the Finance Committee, an amendment was adopted for design and engineering of a juvenile facility in Palmer, Matsu Juvenile Detention Facility, for $355,000. I think that's important because I think probably in that area of the state, they have the same problems we have in Juneau, and increasing problems, and we need to move forward to take care of those problems. And there's $232,500 added for a Kenai Youth Detention Facility, and I think that's important. I think planning and designing and finally funding the construction of that Kenai Youth Facility is important, and it should be done if we're going to properly serve the youth in this state and if we're going to properly serve the citizens that we represent. And there was $675,000 in one amendment, then another $175,000 added for McLaughlin Youth Center, design and engineering and addition of some beds. I have no doubt that's a need. $184,500 for Ketchikan for design and engineering and construction of four beds. I think Ketchikan needs those four beds. I'm not opposed to that. I think we should move forward to get those beds in place. And finally, $287,000 for Fairbanks Youth Facility design. I think Fairbanks needs it. I think we do need a comprehensive system of youth facilities in this state. And that when the planning and design and engineering is done, then we should appropriate the dollars to construct, because that's the only way they'll get there. So I support the idea that we begin to do a statewide look at planning and designing for youth facilities. I also support the idea that when that's done, we should appropriate the money to construct. The senator from Kotzebue, recognizing that, offered an amendment at the table to add the $3 million for the facility that's already
planned and designed and engineered, and for the facility that is housing 26 young people in an 8-bed facility. And he said, as I heard him say, I support these other facilities. I support doing a statewide plan, but we need to take care of what we got ready to go. Mr. President, the amendment for the Johnson Youth Center that the senator from Kotzebue offered was turned down. The amendment to appropriate the other dollars for planning and design and engineering facilities was adopted. That doesn't make sense to me, because I did not hear, and I have not heard, and I wish somebody could give me one solid, justifiable, rational, non-political reason for not funding the Johnson Youth Center. Neither co-chair of finance, the senator from Anchorage who offered the amendment, the other senators who voted against that amendment, not a one of them gave a rational, responsible, public policy reason why the Johnson Youth Center shouldn't be constructed. The reason that was given by the senator who offered the amendment was, I'm interested in getting a statewide perspective here. If I couldn't thought of a better reason than that, I wouldn't have even said anything. A statewide perspective, yes. As long as that statewide perspective didn't include the one facility that was already designed and planned and engineered, and where clearly the overcrowding is causing serious problems for the young people in that facility, as well as causing safety problems for the people who administer that facility. We had a young person who went to the Johnson Youth Center, initially went to the Johnson Youth Center, was transferred because it was too crowded elsewhere, and that young person committed suicide. Now, I'm not saying that that was the sole reason, but I've spoken to the foster grandparents in that facility, the people who work with the people in that facility, and clearly they believe that if that young person could have been home, in a home community, close to family and people who could visit him, that young person might have been alive today, and I don't think that was a life worth throwing away. The young person had made some mistakes. The young person had committed some crimes. But it wasn't a life worth throwing away because of politics. And Mr. President, I don't have it on my desk, but I saw plastering the hallways this morning, and I saw on my TV a press conference this morning by the majority, and the majority was proud, and they wanted the public to be proud of their commitment to fighting crime. And the majority had a list of bills as long as your arm about the Be Tough on Crime legislation that they had passed. And they're proud. And they want the public to be proud. And it's hogwash. Why? Because as the majority was talking about that, at the same time, the operating budget was being closed down without adequate funding for corrections and for public safety and for village public safety officers. And legislation that was on that list were being passed with fiscal notes that were being zeroed out and adjusted for political reasons. So we could put words in a book. We could put words in a book and tell the public that we were being tough on crime.
The speaker has gone far away from the amendment before him. And he is also speaking about intentions of persons in this body, and I don't think we allow people on this floor to try to put intentions into other people's heads or mouths.
That is correct, Senator.
Mr. President, I've asked the public once, and I'll ask them again. Don't listen to what we say, watch what we do. Actions speak a lot louder than words, and the actions aren't to be tough on crime. And so I'll bring it back to this facility. Because part of being tough on crime is, do you provide the facilities to ensure that your streets are safe? and that you have safe neighborhoods? And the answer clearly is yes, that's being tough on crime when you provide the facilities. But failing to appropriate the $3 million for the Johnson Youth Center when it's been designed and planned for 10 years and when the need is there and there's no quarrel from any quarter, from the court system, from the police officers, from the people in the Department of Health and Social Services, from the parents, from the foster grandparents who go and visit that facility, there's no quarrel that the facility is needed. The money should be there. Mr. President, I've asked this question. I'll ask it again right here. And the person who wants to respond has a chance to tell people this state directly. What is the public policy reason to not appropriate the money for the Johnson Youth Center? Give me the good public policy argument against appropriating the money to add 20 beds to a facility that houses 26 youths and 8 beds. What is the good public policy reason against appropriating that money for a facility that's been designed and engineered and planned? Not the political reason, but the public policy reason. And there is none, Mr. President. There is no public policy reason to not appropriate that money. And I will say again to you, Mr. President, you weren't sitting in that chair last year, but the commitment was made straight to me that this year, in this budget cycle, this facility, this $3 million, which by the way has eroded because of inflation, this $3 million would be appropriated and that facility would be constructed and it could go about doing what it's supposed to do, adequately serving the needs of Juneau and of Southeast Alaska. This amendment deserves to be approved.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall amendment number 7 be approved by the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary, I'll lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Senator Taylor. Senator Taylor changes from no to yes. Do any other senators wish to change their vote? Senator Halpert changes from no to yes. Senator Lehman changes from no to yes. Do any other senators wish to change their vote? Senator Wilkins?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins from no to yes. Senator Green?
No to yes.
From no to yes. Any other senators? Secretary will lock the will record the vote. So by a vote of 13 yeas to 6 nays, amendment number 7 has passed the Senate. Senator Sharp?
I call for
Senate will stand at ease. We'll come back to order. Senator Lehman?
I left my call.
The call has been left. Senator Taylor.
Yes, Mr. President, I ask for an at ease for purposes of a caucus.
There will be a caucus, majority caucus in the bench room. But the call of the chair. We stand at recess. Senate will come to order. Senator Lehman.
I call the Senate.
Call has been placed upon the Senate. Let's see where we're at here.
Yes, they left.
The Senate will stand at ease by Senator Taylor.
Yes, thank you, President Miller. I would move that we rescind our action in adopting Amendment Number 9.
Number 7.
7, I'm sorry.
There is objection. Is there debate? Senator Duncan?
And Mr. President, we, of course, had some debate, at least from one side, on this amendment that was previously voted on. I was wondering if someone could, from the majority, could inform me of the reason for rescinding action on the amendment. What's the public policy reason behind doing that?
Further debate? Seeing no, Senator Duncan?
Mr. President, is there no reason? Mr. President, is there no good public policy reason?
Question.
Question before the body. Shall amendment number 7 be rescinded? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 14 yeas to 5 nays, Amendment Number 7 has been rescinded. The adoption. Senator Duncan, I believe Amendment Number 7 is before us. You want to move it?
Do I need to move it?
It's just automatically before. Excuse me, Senator Duncan. I'm sorry.
Mr. President, it does not need to be moved again. It is automatically before us. And let me just say that, clearly based on the vote to rescind, it's obvious what's going to happen here, and that doesn't come as necessarily a surprise to me. But I think it's a sad commentary, and I think it's a sad day. When clearly I've asked time and time again on this floor this evening to give me the public policy reason for not funding the Johnson Youth Center. I've asked, and I've asked, and I've asked, and I haven't gotten it. And so, Mr. President, I don't like, nor do I intend to infer anybody's motives, but it's got to be a political reason only. And I think it's a sad day for this body, it's a sad day for this state, sad day for the public we represent, when clearly it's obvious now that we're making decisions based on politics and not on good public policy. The decision to not adopt this amendment based on the prior vote will clearly show us based on political considerations and not public policy reasons. It saddens me to really believe that people in this state will see that their interests are being represented in that way. That shouldn't be the case. I urge people to vote what they know is right. I urge members of this body to vote their conscience. I urge members of this body to vote good public policy above politics and to vote for the amendment.
Further debate. Senator Duncan.
I just can't get a response, and I would like to ask one more time. Please, someone, tell the public of this state, don't tell me, tell the public of this state the public policy reason for not adopting this amendment or not adding 20 beds to a facility that has 26 youths in an 8-bed facility that's been planned for years, that there's no detractors, there's no one who argues against it. Someone tell the public of this state the public policy reason for not approving this amendment. They deserve that. The public deserves that. I may not deserve it, but the public deserves it. And the people that this facility serves deserve an answer.
Further debate. Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall Amendment Number 7 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 5 yeas to 14 nays, Amendment Number 7 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment Number 8 by Senator Lincoln. Page 42 has been distributed.
Senator Lincoln.
I move Amendment Number 8.
Is there objection? There is objection. Senator, you have the floor.
Thank you. Mr. President, this adds $600,000 into the appropriation for a coalbed methane shallow well in the Fort Yukon area. This is a shallow well that the USGS has drilled, and which indicates that there is probable cause to think that methane gas is present. They've shared the information with the state, and it gives an opportunity for us to have a producible methane gas project this year. Now, there's some confusion, I think, that if this methane or shallow well drilling that we see in the capital project for the $400,000, if that's the same project. It is not, and I need to clarify that. The $400,000 that's been appropriated to DNR is to do a statewide assessment to identify areas that will be likely candidates for a shallow drilling for coal methane. So that's entirely different. This funding for Fort Yukon will actually be used to try to access the methane and help determine the feasibility and for the energy source. With, Mr. President, the rural energy costs climbing and PCE always in question, it just makes really good sense to have this shallow well methane, which offers a cost-effective alternative for many areas of the state. And there will be ongoing survey work done to identify possible sources of methane, but without this funding, the $600,000, there will not be a pilot project to actually try to access this shallow well methane for the energy. Last year, if some of you may recall, the legislature passed a bill to encourage this very same type of energy projects. And already now having that information back from the USGS that says that the area in question here in Fort Yukon is doable and ultimately saves the state money in the long run for low-cost energy, we need to move ahead now with phase two. We've said to the DNR, go out there, see if there is the shallow well that could be accessible, that could provide the low-cost energy for much of our state. They've done that. They've come back now and said that the Fort Yukon area seems to be the best area in which to have a pilot project. I guess we can continue to go on with these studies and never do anything about it once a study comes in. But this is not the recommendation of the department or of anyone that we should just stop right here. We're looking for alternative energy. We're looking for cost-effective energy, efficient energy, energy that will end up saving the state money. And I say to you that this $600,000 does just that.
Further debate. Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall amendment number 8 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. By a vote of 5 yeas and 14 nays, amendment number 8 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 9 by Senator Lincoln. Page 31 has been distributed.
Senator Lincoln?
I move amendment number 9.
There is objection. Senator, you have the floor.
Must have been quite a caucus. This amendment, Mr. President, adds $250,000 for the Galena Vocational Training Center. It's a school that has been in the making for a long, long time. It is a project that has the Department of Education, the Air Force, the community surrounding the area, all involved in it, and has been for a number of years to try and get some type of a regional vocational charter school that would speak to the vocational and technical training aspect as well as the academic programs. This is viewed as a regional center for many of the young people to come in and participate in and be ready for work. Some of the individuals may not do well in the normal school setting. And the Air Force has agreed to lease the buildings in the inactive Air Force base there in Galena for $1 a year. With a long-term lease. We have focused for this, not only this past year, but since I've been down here in much before that we need to look at alternative means to have employment for our people all over the state, that we need to make sure that there is quality education out there. And with now welfare reform and other efforts focusing on employment and economic development, I would suggest to you that it's extremely important to have Alaska youth have adequate facilities and programs in place to provide the school-to-work training, to provide for the individuals that will go through the training and get a job at the end and become productive citizens to our state, to their community, and to their families. I urge the support of Amendment Number 9.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, question before the body, shall Amendment Number 9 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 5 yeas to 14 nays, Amendment Number 9 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment Number 10 by Senator Adams.
Senator Adams? I move Number 10. There is objection. Senator, you have the floor.
Thank you. I have two purposes regarding this amendment. It's using the investment loss trust fund to take care of two things. One is first the Mount Edgecombe High School repairs. As we all know, that school is over 50 years old, and it needs some repairs. Also, the kitchen facility has over 30 years of old equipment there, and that we need to take care of. The second purpose there is to take care of the Kiana High School renovation project. It was 6th on the deferment list here in the state of Alaska. It is there for almost $2.3 million. And basically what these funds will do is address the health, life, safety, and code violations. And what happened is this particular building does not meet the state fire marshal's codes, and because of the fact we do not have a sprinkler system. And what this does is presents an imminent danger to our children in Kiana. And I ask that you support this, Mr. President.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall Amendment Number 10 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Senator Mackey? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 5 yeas to 14 nays, Amendment Number 10 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment Number 11 by Senator Adams.
Senator Adams?
I move Number 11, Mr. President.
There is objection.
This is the AHFC Supplemental Housing Program, and we all in here understand the program. We do have $6 million in the budget, which we do appreciate. However, it needs another $1.9 million to match federal funds of another $10 million. HUD recently released its notice of funding available for these federal funds, and the Alaska's allocation is approximately $39.1 million, and that is the reason I'm requesting this. We all know that these housing projects, not only in rural Alaska, but throughout the state of Alaska. And it goes to the regional housing authorities, and people compete for these, and I think it's in our best interest, Mr. President.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall Number 11 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 5 yeas to 14 nays, Amendment Number 11 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment Number 12 by Senator Adams, page 58, has been distributed.
Senator Adams?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This puts back in $966,000 for rural development grants, and the source of funding is through ADA. And it's not ADA dividend, but it's the ADA program. And basically, if we go back in history regarding rural development grants, this particular program has been around since 1959. So it's in statehood. And at that time in 1959, we had an operating budget here in the state, $45 million. And it was a priority in 1959, and it should be a priority today. And basically, we funded the same program of rural development grants from the ADA program of $800 last year for the same purposes. And basically, it's to help economic development projects. And I forgot, Mr. President, I move Number 12.
Is there objection to Amendment Number 12? There is objection.
Okay. And I appreciate it. If one of the interesting things here is that if we're interested in welfare to work, this basically creates jobs from people around the state of Alaska. And last year, with the money that we put in, $800,000, this money leveraged
around the state of Alaska $10 million. So there is a source that it picks up also, Mr. President. So is there a debate? Seeing no further debate, question before the body, shall amendment number 12 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 5 yeas to 14 nays, amendment number 12 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 13 by Senator Ellis, page 40, it's been distributed.
Senator Ellis?
Move amendment number 13.
There is objection. Senator, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment would restore funding adequate to allow the Department of Health and Social Services to upgrade their computer system to deal with the monumental task that we've assigned them, along with the federal government, of completely overhauling the public assistance programs. This money would allow the adequate work on the mainframe that's needed, office automation, system integration, all kinds of things that are necessary for data collection and actually keeping the machinery of moving people from welfare to productive jobs working. But the most important aspect about all of this is that this restoration of funding would bring the match ratio between general funds and federal funds up to 55% so that we can maximize the capture of federal funds. So I would hope members would seriously consider this and know that if we're asking the system to do almost a completely different job or a different approach to public assistance, that we give them the tools necessary to make it all work.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall amendment number 13 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 5 yeas to 14 nays, amendment number 13 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 14 by Senator Lincoln, page 31, it's been distributed.
Senator Lincoln?
Move amendment number 14.
There is objection. Senator, you have the floor.
I'm hoping for a 613 here. This is an amendment that will restore the $400,000 in the governor's capital budget for Harborview, which is in Valdez. We've talked about Harborview for many years, and this project will enable the Department of Corrections to develop the facility into a 50-bed drug and alcohol treatment center for prisoners with histories of serious substance abuse. It's estimated, and we hear that figure over and over again, 80 to 90% of our prisoners, of those that are in correctional facilities, are there because they have been involved with a substance abuse problem. This treatment, of course, we know can reduce the rate of recidivism and ultimately lower the cost to government of not having to continually talk about whether we're going to build new prisons, whether we're overcrowded, whether we need to move our prisoners to the lower 48. It reminds me, Mr. President, of the court administrator who, in one of the conferences that I was at, said when he was asked, well, how do we ever get to the point of reducing our correctional facilities, the population in our correctional facilities? And he said, I have three words for that, and I know the answer, or three recommendations. He said, the overcrowding in Alaska's prisoners can be resolved by addressing alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. And that was the three words for how we resolve the overcrowding in our prisons. And certainly the Harborview would go a long, long way in reducing the prison population and seeing the same folks going back through our system over and over again. And we need to look at alternative means of getting that population, the prison population, down. This is, I think, $400,000 that's well spent in doing that.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall amendment number 14 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 5 yeas to 14 nays, Amendment number 14 fails to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 15 by Senator Duncan, page 41, line 14, the district.
Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment number 15.
There is objection. Senator, you have the floor.
Mr. President, Amendment number 15 would appropriate $120,000 in general fund to begin the design and lead to the construction of a new armory facility here in this community to take care of the National Guard activities in the Juneau area. This $120,000 in general fund will generate about $6.4 million in federal funds for the actual construction of the armory. Presence of need in this community. If you've ever been to the armory, you know that it's a very small facility, it's outdated, and there is a real need for an upgrade of that facility. In addition to that, the present facility sits on mental health trust land. When we recreated mental health trust land or trust fund, it resulted in the land beneath the Juneau Armory and also beneath the subfort being part of that trust. And of course, their purpose is to generate revenue. And currently now, because of that, the Department of Military Veterans Affairs has to pay a lease for the land that armory is on. They've been able to work in a land exchange with the City and Borough of Juneau for land to create and to construct a new armory. It would surely serve the National Guard well. It's just one of a couple of armory projects that are being considered and proposed in this state, one in the Fairbanks area, which has been taken care of in another piece of legislation, a $700,000 appropriation. This $120,000 would allow the armory to move forward, and as I said, would generate about $6.4 million in federal receipts.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, the question before the body, shall Amendment number 15 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So by a vote of 5 yeas, 14 nays, Amendment number 15 has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 16 by Senator Duncan, page 30, and it's been distributed.
Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. President. Move Amendment number 16.
There is objection. Senator?
Mr. President, Amendment number 16 is for a project that's not in my community, and it's not in my region of the state, but I think it's an important project, and one that should be funded. One that was recommended be funded by the governor in his capital budget, because I believe that the recognition was there that this is a project that will serve not only the community that's going to be located in, but also serve a greater area of the state, serve rural Alaska, and bring information to many visitors in our urban areas about what rural Alaska is like, what goes on there, what it's all about. It's the Alaska Heritage Center. It's called the Alaska Native Heritage Center. It's going to be located, will be located in Northeast Anchorage on a 26-acre parcel of land. So as I said, it's not in my community. It's not anything that I think that I necessarily or my constituents will necessarily see a direct benefit from, but I think they'll see clearly an indirect benefit as they're able to travel to that community and visit this Native Heritage Center. It's estimated that, of course, the construction is going to put a lot of money into the Anchorage area economy, into the construction trades, provide some meaningful employment, not just during construction, but also during operation for Native people in all levels of management and operation, and give an opportunity for the rest of Alaska, for urban Alaska, and our visitors to our state to have a better understanding of rural Alaska. It's kind of unusual I would offer this amendment, but I think it's an important amendment. I think we need to try to put together a capital budget that recognizes we have some unique characteristics in this state, some unique history in this state, and that should be brought to the attention of all of our residents as well as to the visitors in this state. And I think clearly this amendment needs to be supported.
For the debate, Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, I just want to state that I really support this project, and I've met with the those who are working hard on it. It's a project that, interestingly enough, with redistricting, is in my district. But it's going to be a boon for Anchorage and also, I think, the rest of the state. And I certainly agree with many of the statements that Senator from Juneau made about the project. Having said that, I applaud the foundations and the private sources of money that are supporting this, and I encourage them to do so. And I've counseled those who are trying to solicit state money to work even more aggressively at raising that. I know recently AT&T Alaska just contributed about $100,000 to it, and I'm going to do my part to help encourage the raising of money for this very worthy cause, and I would hope that the rest of the funds that are necessary to complete the project can come from these other sources.
Further debate? Seeing no further debate, Senator Phillips.
Mr. President, I'll offer an amendment to the amendment to make this correct. In front of Native Foot Alaskan, I move it.
Is there objection to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing no objection, the amendment to the amendment has been adopted. Further debate on Amendment 16 as amended? Question before the body, shall Amendment 16 as amended pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. By a vote of 5 yeas to 14 nays, Amendment 16 as amended has failed to pass the Senate.
Amendment number 17 by Senator Ellis. Page 30 has been distributed.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 17.
There is objection. Senator, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. The 19th Alaska Legislature, I believe it was, decided that capital items, ongoing capital needs of the Head Start programs around the state, and there are many of them in communities throughout the state of Alaska, that those monies, I guess in the budget cutting process that was gone through on the operating budget, that this money would be taken out and shifted over to the capital budget. That sort of goes counter to some of the comments that have been made in this legislature, critical of various agencies and programs that have neglected their ongoing maintenance and capital needs and that sort of thing. But the legislature, some of the same group of people, decided several years ago to take this out of the operating budget, to shift it over to capital. And this year the Senate is proposing, the governor requested $100,000, and the Senate has proposed zero funding for Head Start capital needs. This proposes, as you can see, to put in $50,000. This is for the kind of things that I think most people would agree are necessary, ongoing capital needs, that we would be appalled if people dealing with very young children in the state of Alaska were not keeping up with those program directors. They tend to be code sorts of things, or very basic needs. In Fairbanks, it's a need for child safety seats and the transport of the children to the programs. At KidCorps, the Anchorage Head Start program, it's for bus tires. Hate for the tires to wear out and kids be transported in an unsafe manner. In Fairbanks, at the Resource Center for Parents and Children, it's for panic bars on the door. I would